Hometown Sports Talk Show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. Guys, happy Thursday. We're going to talk more Cowboys coming up and what this defense looks like that we'll be facing on Sunday.
Yeah.
Before we get to all of that, big shout-out to Oconee. Big shout-out to Taylor, our brewmaster, and all of the great places that have picked up our Hey Man L. We just got word, and we put it out there on the Twitter as well and on social media, that we are now in Ruth's Chris in Alpharetta.
Dang.
And we are also, Mike, in one of my favorite places. They also have great craft drinks, but just the burgers are amazing, man. Holman and Finch.
How about that? The original location up in Buckhead? Nice. So, guys, go to at Oconee Brewing. I liked all of their recent tweets, so you can look at them at Mike Bell ATL. But basically, there's a bunch of locations. They're all over. Carl just mentioned that Ruth Chris and now Holman and Finch. Wild Wing in Swinging Cumming, Georgia. How about that, brother? Longhorn Steaks in Jonesboro. Get yourself a Hey Man Ale while you eat yourself a Longhorn on a Friday night. How about that? So we appreciate it, guys. We're already in a bunch of Kroger's and Publix's and just everywhere, man. Kroger stores, Acworth, Alpharetta, Atlanta. Wow. Too many towns to name. I feel like Gordon Solie, Carl, at the end of Florida Georgia Championship Wrestling. It's like, coming up, they'll be in Canton, Georgia. No, there's a bunch of locations. So go to Oconee Brewing and find it where you can get your hands on Shenanigans. In every can, it's Hey Man Ale.
All right, guys, we've been talking a lot today about a variety of things going on. Thanks again to Coach Dooley. And I know dog fans are hitting us up like, man, I don't know the defense, you know, if we're going to be able to stop Alabama. Listen, we got a couple of weeks to get to that.
Well, I mean, let's just let the game play.
Let it play.
You know, I mean, I know some guys have been getting upset that we've been saying no one's beating Alabama. Well, just because Alabama's had a bit of a head start on Kirby now. He's into his, what, third recruiting class,
yep.
Fourth recruiting class? So certainly they're going to start to build that depth up, but you just couldn't replace Roquan Smith. And John Atkins was a big part of that, too, on that offensive line, man. I mean, defensive line, I should say. And then, you know, Lorenzo Carter, who came on and finally played the way the dog fans were expecting him to after all the hype when he was recruited. So, yeah, you just don't replace guys like that yet. Now, eventually, you will. And look at Alabama, for instance, our buddy Christian Miller, who we spoke to a week ago, Corey's son. You know, he had injuries. He was redshirted. It's taken years for him to get in because there have been so many guys ahead of him. Even with all the other injuries, they were still able to get back to national championships. That's really having depth.
I agree. And that's when the turnover doesn't become turnover. It just simply becomes you're replacing one NFL future star with another. The dogs in some areas are there, Mike. For example, running back. You're sending running backs to the league every year, and you will continue that. I mean, Holyfield's going to be in the league, guys. Swift will be in the
league. DeAndre Swift.
Yes, he will be in the league. There are other guys that are coming. We've not even talked about Mike Zeus, who's injured.
Yeah, Zamir White, when he comes back. Now, you hope, though, he bounces back from the leg injury. You hope that's not going to – hope that doesn't become like Craig Lumpkin, where, you know, the injuries just kept piling on. But, yeah, Zamir White will finally have his chance to show what he can do. And certainly for dog fans, I know that people are in their feelings about, was it John Emery who went back to LSU being from Louisiana? We talked about that with Jeff Centel yesterday. But, I mean, you're not going to hit on everyone. They also picked up a big running back from down in South Florida that looks like a guy that kind of be a change of pace guy to move the pile.
So, again, I'm not ready to declare the L, but I will tell you that for the Dogs to beat Alabama, I think that's where it starts. I don't think that we can, you know, talk about the offense. I think the offense, you have enough offense to stay with them. Can the defense get stops on Tua and company? And really, that's going to be the discussion. Hey, man, quick reminder, guys. Speaking of that, Mike and I are going to be at the Tabernacle for the SEC Championship game. We announced this earlier in the week. It's on our website at 929thegame.com. Thanks again to all the folks involved. But we're looking forward to being down there, Mike. We're actually going, is it 2 hours, Bo? 2 to 4:30 or 2 to 4:15, I think, before the game starts. 2 to 4, somewhere around there. Either way, our our station will be down there. I think Rick and John will be broadcasting from noon to 2. But the cool thing is they will have our Hey Man L as well down there. So we're excited about that.
Nice.
Not only are we going to be down there hanging out, tailgating, talking dogs and Alabama, but we will also have a chance, or you will, that is, to have a Hey Man L. It is, by the way, we are partnering with Dog Days, Mike. And so thanks to Dog Days, as we have partnered up with them for the biggest college football party in the city.
All right, guys, at Tabernacle, again, it's open to the public. You got to pay. I mean, there's a cover there.
Thank you for that.
You got to pay a little loot, but it's going to be one heck of a party with some live music and our Hey Man Ale flowing like water.
All right, man, let's get to On the Sidelines.
Dukes and Bell on the Sidelines with the Dogs.
You kind of went Paul Harvey on me there for a second.
Scared you?
And now time for the rest of
the story. Here's Kirby Smart talking about how they get better.
If the message is clear to them that you've gotten better for three straight weeks, you've played pretty good football teams, you just got to keep doing that. That's all we can worry about. We don't control anything else. All we control is how we play. And if you control that with your behaviors, we talk about behaviors all the time. Good behaviors create, I'm not talking about going to bed at night. I'm talking about studying film. I'm talking about rest. I'm talking about recovery. Those are the things that are going to help us be a better football team. And we're growing a lot of young players up.
Man, Kirby with some emotion.
But you should get 8 hours of sleep and say your prayers and take your vitamins. That now it morphed into Clinton. Damn it! It was Rakoff earlier. Now it's Clinton.
There is an interesting documentary coming on. Bo and I were talking about on A&E. It's Monica Lewinsky. But that's a whole other story. Coach is right, though, man. I mean, listen. What are you going to do? Worry about your team?
What can you do? You got to play him, Carl.
Worry about the other team. You're not going to worry about the other team. You got to worry about what you can do. By the way, we go on the sidelines with the dogs every day. It's brought to you by BrightBox.
BrightBox Electrical, man. 770-901-2500. The elevated electricians for man caves, home security, home monitoring, generators. They got it all, man. Go to BrightBoxElectrical.com.
Kirby also talking about, Mike, being efficient on offense.
Jake's done a good job managing the clock. Our offense does that. Every week, you know, they do it against us. We practice it really hard, but, I mean, so does everybody else. So it's one of those things that I think we've been efficient at.
All right, listen, and I agree with Coach Vince Dooley when he says Jake's been so good. I think we've kind of taken it for granted. He's played well.
And we've been lobbying to see Fields out there. And there was, look, there were times and there were moments in the season where it would have worked. But, again, I don't know if it was by design or just the offense was discombobulated or why. And I asked Coach, you know, what was going on there. But Fields basically took them on a drive, and they started nice, and then they went backwards, and then the wheels came off. So, again, teaching moments. There was a place for this kid. It's not like he's defined by one – and I don't want to get it twisted, Carl. Fields is not defined by one bad series against Auburn because there's a bunch of players that have gone on to the NFL that have had, you know, inauspicious moments in their first year in college football. I mean, right. Matthew Stafford struggled, you know, as a dog quarterback when he finally got the shot to get in there. So, some perspective. But I do think there are also some moments like the Florida game and the goal line stand where you could have maybe thrown Fields out there just to use the athleticism.
I agree. This is a story we're following because it might mean another firing at Maryland. Reports out of the Baltimore Sun, Mike, and Damon Evans, for those who are not familiar, at one point was the athletic director at the University of Georgia. Scandal happened. He was released. Damon Evans is getting a second life, and now he's at Maryland. Okay. Then you have this DJ Durkin situation that goes down. And Durkin ultimately loses his job. It's a story many of you heard about. We followed it here on the program and talked about it. But, Mike, this story coming out of the Baltimore Sun is that DJ Durkin apparently was still in contact and communicated with his assistant coaches and developed game plans for the team after being placed on administrative leave. Damon Evans signed off on this.
Well, that's a problem. Then he's gone. Then, I mean, I don't want to see anybody get fired on that, but when you've got a suspension and you are not to be in contact with the team, that means just what it says. I mean, that's common sense, right? You know, this is a team, by the way, where you thought they were going to rally around. This team, they've lost their way.
Damon Evans apparently approved the ongoing communication with his coaching staff. Durkin further claims that he had not been told by anyone at the university that he was not – You know, that he was not to have contact with his players or assistants.
That's he said, she said. But if Damon Evans isn't laying the law down on this, you know, he gets a second act, and you hope he'd be using more common sense in this department. Because, look, this thing, the eyes of the country, not just Metro D.C., were on this one.
Yeah.
When a kid loses his life because, you're pushing him too hard. And, again, initially it looked like they were going to use the strength and conditioning coach as the fall guy. But, I mean, look, the buck stops technically with the athletic director and the head coach.
Yeah, I don't get – when you're on administrative leave, and I've been around some coaches where this has happened, that means no contact, right? That means you're at home waiting for a phone call from the administration to say, hey, it's okay for you to even come back around, let alone – You're on the phone. You're having conversations about game planning.
You're actually developing the game plan.
Yeah.
I mean, Urban Meyer, that was something that was looked at. Remember, Urban Meyer was not anywhere, or at least unless you think Urban Meyer was reached. Maybe they'll find that story out. But right now, the optics not good for a former UGA AD, now Maryland AD, Damon Evans.
All right, so Matt Canada, Bo, is the head coach now. I'm guessing he's going to get the job. But you know what? If Damon Evans gets got, again, potentially, then you're going to have to bring in a new AD, and maybe he cleans house. Who knows?
Yeah, they just hired a search firm for the new coach. They might be adding another job description to that search. They've lost to Michigan State and Indiana. Indiana actually in a close game. And up next, Maryland wraps up with Ohio State and then Penn State. So it's going to get easier.
All right, guys, some college clinching scenarios, conference that is. I know it's a weak schedule this weekend in the ranks of the NCAA. It's just kind of what it is. Most Power Fives have their rivals next week, and it's just kind of the way things play out.
Well, the Big 12, because they got to play everybody, they are finishing strong with some conference action. SEC's got a couple of games where you've got some teams actually playing each other. Missouri at Tennessee. Tennessee coming off that win that you predicted against Kentucky. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, let's be honest, Jeremy Pruitt's got a hell of a first year up in Knoxville.
Impressive.
Keep winning.
Impressive. Pittsburgh guys in the ACC Coastal Division can clinch with the win at Wake Forest, or Virginia loses at Georgia Tech. All right. The Pitt Panthers are in a good spot to wrap up their first division championship since joining the ACC. This gets back to that Georgia Tech-Pitt game you brought up.
Yeah, still a game where I think Paul Johnson would love to have some of those decisions back. And, again, they didn't execute. That was a very winnable game for Georgia Tech. Both the two toughest losses, I know I always bring them back, don't really understand what happened against Duke on homecoming at Bobby Dodd. But you could argue the USF game with the special teams just gaffes and that Pitt game. Certainly they'd have a chance to be battling for the division. You know, UVA is a team which, you know, we were getting high on them, and then Pittsburgh beat them in Charlottesville.
Pitt has stacked up head-to-head tiebreakers against Virginia. Mike mentioned Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech. So Pat Narduzzi's team, that is, playing pretty well. Do they win the Coastal? They can with the win at Wake, or Virginia loses at Georgia Tech this weekend.
And it assures there's no way Clemson would ever leapfrog Alabama for number one.
Right.
Because if it's all chalk from here, and let's just say Alabama beats Georgia even in a close game, there's not going to be any bounce for Clemson taking care of Pittsburgh and Charlotte.
All right, you mentioned the Big 12. It looks like it's going to be Oklahoma or West Virginia, you know, when you talk about the Big 12 championship. But as you look at some of the scenarios, there are a couple of things that could happen. The Sooners would guarantee themselves, let's see here, one of the two spots in the Big 12 championship game with a victory over Kansas. That's going to happen. And Iowa State's victory over Texas. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen because that's a big game for
Good
Texas.
Good defense, though, for Iowa State.
It is. It is. So there are a couple of things that could play out in the Big 12, but we're getting to that point in the season. And last but not least, the Big 10. Michigan clinches with a win versus Indiana and Ohio State loss at Maryland.
Yeah, man. Northwestern, how about that story, right? In the Big Ten. The other story today in the world of college football, our buddy Dan Dockett says radio up in Indy saying that Jeff Brohm is going to Louisville. And then I never knew, you and I were looking at some of the tweets, how mean Purdue Boilermaker fans can be. Screaming at him. They don't want to hear about that. Brohm's dad was a big man on campus at Louisville, and everybody wants Brohm to be the man in Louisville.
Yeah, I kind of laugh when I see those tweets of people going, you don't know D. Okay.
Hold on, man. I'm getting flashback.
What, are you going to break dance?
No, Club Avante, Queens Boulevard. Let's get it on.
What are you going to do? Start breaking?
Oh, yeah, if I hit some Capizios, I just might cut a rug.
Hey, Cowboys defense is pretty good. How good, we'll tell you next.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's such a stinky, cloudy, yucky day here in Metro Atlanta. We thought we'd try to put some sunshine, at least in your radio, with a Throwback Thursday. Craig's on the ones and twos here on Duke's Bill. And Carl and I,
I'm just jamming, man.
We started in the music side, so these are some of our favorite tunes. And it's funny because do kids even roller skate anymore?
I don't know.
This just takes me back to my parents' house.
Because
Craig and I were talking, this is like definitely roller skate music at the beach or when I was like 12 years old at Astro Skate.
Yeah, that's all. I'm just in the house right now. This is like a Saturday morning and everybody's cleaning up.
And Oakland is the only place we wouldn't fight was the roller skating ring. It was like sanctuary. Yeah. No one would fight the roller skating ring.
Hit us up on Twitter. And you can follow us at 92.9 The Game at Dukes of Bell 929. Carl's put them up. See Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Said Dukes of Bell playing barbecue music all day.
Yeah, man. Listen, it's crappy outside. We're just trying to cheer you up. That's all. Hey, we're going to talk about the Cowboys coming up. Before we do, we do not like the idea. There's nothing we can do about it. It's been going on prior to Atlanta United existing in our city.
Right.
But we don't like the idea of our team being in the playoffs and then our players going abroad to play. That is what's going on, Mike.
Yeah, now again, we have to wait until the Sunday after Thanksgiving for the next round of the playoffs to begin. We'll play the Red Bulls at Mercedes-Benz and then the following Thursday, and hopefully we'll be able to advance to the finals here at Mercedes-Benz. But You got Brad Guzan in net for Team USA against England in a friendly at Wembley. And it's not like the English are that fired up about this match. It's not like it's a sellout. But midweek, Thursday night in London, and at least early in the first half, we're like a shooting gallery. And I know that Brad can shake this off because our defense is so porous and so awful. And another reminder of how, despite how good the MLS is, how completely brutally bad the U.S. men's national team is. This ain't on Brad. But I just like him, you know, being a pincushion out there, Carl, with shot after shot, and then he's got to get his head right for another match. I know we can shake it off, but just don't like the optics. And then again, Joseph's got to play with Venezuela. They got to go all the way to Japan. We got Miggy and Tito Vizalba. They got to go to a friendly in South Africa for Paraguay. It just seems like you don't want your guys doing this. If this was like the week before the NBA Finals, you would not want your guys playing basketball in Russia.
No, not at all. You know what I mean? And, you know, then you see our guys not perform well, and you wonder if that's going to carry over, right?
Mm-hmm.
It probably won't, but you wonder. And the bigger thing for me is just getting guys injured. I'm not worried about Brad, but when you have our guys like Miggy and Joseph running around, Mike, you know, these crazy things happen, man.
And I know what I'm just saying. You can't put these guys in bubble wrap, but the way the schedule works out, and as we said, we've got so many fans that are like new to the MLS. And going, why do they have international competition in the middle of the playoffs? Exactly. That's a great question.
It is.
Something that Don Garber, we got to straighten that Garber, the commissioner, out next time we get him on the show. But U.S. down 2-0. I know that Wayne Rooney finally went in. Lingard had the first goal for the English team today. Back to you, Carl Dukes.
All right, man. We got a lot more to get to coming up at 5. It's the Falcon Report. But let's talk about this Cowboy defense here briefly, and we'll get more into this coming up. We've got 1st and 10 with Dave Archer and Matt Ryan at 5 o'clock. So stay tuned to hear what Matt has to say about this week's opponent. Listen, if you don't think Matt was PO'd about that loss last week, just go watch the end of the game when he comes off the field, all right, against the Browns. How do you redeem yourself? Well, not just Matt, but as a team, you got to go out and handle your business this weekend against the Cowboys, guys. Rich McKay is on the way in less than 15 minutes, president of our Atlanta Falcons. This is a top 10 defense we're facing on Sunday. Now, the last time we said this was the Redskins game. And the Redskins was also, they were also a team that was giving up about 19 points a game, which is what the Cowboys are giving up now. They are 3rd in the league. They have 25 sacks. That equals about 12th in the league.
Right.
But overall, against the pass, the run, and then total defense, all right, total defense, they're 7th. Rush defense, 8th. Mm. Pass defense, they're 9th. So for all the conversation we've had about Ezekiel Elliott, Mike,
right.
What's the point total? Because, you know, when we played the Redskins, I told you guys, I said, if we get to 24, it's a wrap. We did, and it was. What is it going to take to beat this Cowboy team? Because what we're telling you is, guys, this is a much better defensive team than I think a lot of people give them credit for, just based on their record and how things have kind of gone. Last week, it was all about Zeke. He had 150 yards and a couple of touchdowns, and they made some plays offensively. But they also did a really good job of getting off the field when they needed to against an Eagles defense or offense that is that's struggling right now.
Yeah, so the Cowboys, the passing game, does Amari Cooper have a better game against our secondary because we've been struggling in coverages? I don't know. I mean, who's the other guy that's going to try to, you know, help? You don't really put our – who is our – you know what I was going to say? Who's our best defender to put on Amari Cooper?
On a Cooper?
We don't do that anyway. It's a matter of which side the wide receiver lines up on. We don't specifically – rarely do we match up like this. Hey, now, for what he's paid, Trufant would be that guy that's
right.
Supposed to be trying to shut down Amari Cooper, not in the way they use them. But I'm more worried about Ezekiel Elliott and them just trying to pound the ball, keep us off the field. Because if you're the Cowboys, you look at us and go, well, wow, Matt Ryan's having another MVP-caliber year. You want to keep the Falcons' offense off the field as much as you can.
I think, you know, we go back a few years ago. You guys remember Jalen Smith out of Notre Dame? Blows his leg out in the bowl game, and everybody's like, oh, this is why kids shouldn't play. So the Cowboys rolled the dice and took a chance on him, and he set out basically his rookie season. Mike, he's playing great for them. Jalen Smith is all over the field, combined on 70 tackles already this season. He's got a total of, I think, 46 when you talk about, you know, being around the ball. 3 sacks also for Jalen Smith.
Yeah, it's a young defense. I mean, we were talking yesterday with Mike Fisher from Dallas, and, you know, Jerry still runs the show, and his son Steven, they have a personnel guy, but Jerry signs off on everything. Well, you can't argue with Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith. As you said, taking a flyer on Smith, knowing it was going to take a minute before he'd be NFL ready. But Vander Esch out of a Boise State is their leading tackler. And they're also starting to get some heat now off the edge on their pass rush.
So with all of that said, and we really haven't broken down a lot of the keys, we'll do some of that tomorrow as we talk more about this matchup. But one of the things that's going to be obvious, right, is if they make us one-dimensional. And we said this about the Redskins, and it didn't happen. We ran the ball all over them. So it opened up all these other plays for Matt Ryan around the field. If they are somehow able to shut our run game down, and I think this, you know, again, as a physical defense up front, how are those guys going to do? Last week, guys, we did not grade out well when you talk about the O-line, but neither did the DBs. You know, I tweeted out something the other day from one of these pro football sites, and they graded our DBs, all of them, having their worst seasons as of yet. That's for True, that's Rocky, that's Brian Poole, that's everybody that's been playing. So, you know, it's hard to judge KZ simply because he jumped into the fray, but he leads the league in interceptions. How does that rank with his playmaking? If you watch this thing from Ray Lewis, he took a bad angle on that Chubb play, and it ended up costing us.
But that's, you know, part of the learning curve, man. He's a guy that is, you know, remember, he was a corner that's now a safety.
And I love KZ.
Yeah, he was a corner coming out of San Diego State, and that gives him that ball-hawking ability. He's leading everybody in the NFL with 5 interceptions. You know, so, I mean, as much as we're lamenting the fact that, you know, Trufant and Alford don't have him, not a lot of the guys in the NFL do either. But against the pass in total yardage, I mean, we're like one of the worst teams. We're in the bottom four in almost every category as far as passing defense, points allowed, all the things we've got to tighten up. There's a lot of similarities, as we've said this before, Carl, with the 16 season. That year, because you had young guys learning, those guys all became Pro Bowlers, and now they're injured. You're missing Keanu, you're missing Deion, although D-Len, we'll talk more about it at 5 in the Domino's Falcon Report.
Yeah.
From what I saw in the video, Deion Jones moving really well today at practice.
Oh, are you saying Deion is going to play?
Well, I said it yesterday. I said 50-50, leaning towards him playing, but he's looking good. He's moving around. We've got lateral movement. He's pressing on the ankle. He's moving.
Well, we both saw him walking around the locker room, and, you know, we both kind of laughed because it's like with any injury, when you see a star player walking around, you're like, he's healthy. He's got to play.
I mean, look, Scridbilly over here shaking his head. Well, I don't know. Maybe they got a body double out there running around wearing the 45 jersey. But, I mean, either it's a smokescreen for the Cowboys.
What are you doing with the hand gestures in there? What are you saying? We should slow down?
If a man can run, he can probably play on Sunday.
No, I'm saying temper this excitement because it's not about if he can run. We know he can run. We know he can walk. But how does his body hold up? How does his body feel to Friday? How does his body feel Saturday night at the hotel? Is he dragging one of his legs behind him?
Why don't you go give him a deep tissue massage and get off my jock?
He'll get a massage. I mean, come on.
Yes, because that fixes everything. Get a massage.
Well, yeah, deep I don't know about massage. You, Bo, but for me, I'm completely relaxed after a massage.
Where are you getting massages at?
Mitch Evans, really? Mitch Evans recommended a spot down on Buford Highway.
Not Buford Highway, exactly right.
There's a great spot, Carl, called Zookie's. Yeah. They also do the cupping. By the way,
I have legitimate massage places. Thank you very much.
Really? Where are they? They got those in Cobb County?
What's none of your business?
I thought Cobb County law shut that stuff down. Well, man.
I said legitimate, Mike.
Okay.
All right. The rubbing is real.
Oh, you're a big man.
Wait a minute. That didn't sound right. The rubbing is legit.
Yeah, easy, Tiger. All right, there's the end. We now have the sounder for the end of the show. I've often wondered, Carl, if you know what?
My masseuse is insulted by these comments.
Oh, Carl, please. Let's maintain a patient confidentiality.
Actually, I'll be honest with you. Last time I had a massage, man, it didn't do anything for me.
Really? Maybe you're obviously in the wrong place.
No, I'll tell you what happened. And some of you guys can relate to this. Like, you know, you're like, oh, yeah. This small attractive woman.
Yep. Wow, this is getting interesting.
She didn't work me like I needed to be worked.
Now, is the door to this place in the back? Which exit on 75 was this?
It's the truth. She didn't go deep like I needed.
I don't know what kind of massage you were
talking
expecting.
Talking about a massage, Mike Bell. Would you stop it?
You got a nice massage at We Bear All, apparently. Squidbilly's waving off. No, I'm just.
Can you relate to this? I mean, seriously. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
When's the last time you got a massage? Vegas, right?
You're telling me you go to
a location somewhere in Cobb County to get a deep tissue massage?
Yeah, there's a couple of places around town. There's a couple of places. I
have a chiropractor place that also do massage as well. Yeah. And you're right. They have two people. The one person there, she doesn't press as hard.
Thank you.
I understand what you're trying to say. It sounds better the other way.
Carl, you need a big man's hands on your body is what you're saying.
At Domino's deep dish.
Come here, man. I got you. All right, guys. It is Dukes and Bell.
For a large Nordic man named Sven.
I'm just being honest. There are some women who do great massages, and to Craig's point, there's a lot of pressure there. This one didn't have that.
I haven't had a massage since I got engaged in Jamaica. That was part of the package at the hotel. They gave you the massage.
Come on.
The
girl you got to keep your body
up. The problem with the girl was so hot. I was sitting there like trying to think thoughts of like who played third base for the Mets in 1975.
I don't need all that.
Wayne Garrett!
I want my body rejuvenated, not other things. We're coming back.
Throwback Thursday.
Did you really just drop some Rick James on us?
Well, this is how the whole thing got started. I was talking to Craig about Rick James. I was listening to this at the gym today.
Can't wait to get motivated.
Super sounds of the 80s, everybody.
It is Dukes and Bell. I wonder if Rich McKay roller skated back in the day.
I'm sure he did. And he even knows where Astro Skate in Newport Richey is because, you know, his dad was coaching the Bucks.
All right, let's talk to him. He is the president of our Atlanta Falcons. Off the beaten path, Rich. Did you roller skate back in the day?
Absolutely not.
Come on.
No time did I ever even contemplate the roller skates. No.
Even
I skateboard now.
Okay.
California dude, you know, right. With the skateboard, but no. The roller skates, they never fit my world, no.
Wow. I just figured, you know, your dad coaching at USC, you'd be on a strand somewhere in Venice or something, you know, doing your thing. No?
No. Didn't happen.
Hey, Rich, let's start first with the Mexico City debacle. And from your experience, how a decision like this is made. Obviously, the schedule's made way in advance. And you know, you don't know how these situations play out. I think the NFL got it right. You didn't want to put the Chiefs. Or for that matter, the Rams players in danger. But how does this process work?
Yeah, so I know a lot of people that were there and working on the scene. And, in fact, there are still people there because they're not flying home till, you know, Monday or Tuesday, I guess Tuesday of next week. Very, very distressful situation. So realize that whether it's going to be at Wembley Stadium or whether it's going to be, you know, in Mexico City, the league is going to have a bunch of its own people. They're going to hire locals, but they're going to also have their own people go in and deal with issues like locker room, press box, and field. And the field becomes very important because when we first started going to Wembley, you know, there were a lot of complaints, hey, the field's too hard. Right. It's set up for soccer. It's not really a football field. And the league did a lot of things, and it you don't hear that anymore. And it was quickly adjusted. I think in Mexico City, there was an issue. I remember a game a few years ago where there were literally chunks of grass coming out and the field was pretty soft. So I think this time around, the league put a lot of time and effort in. They've been in there, you know, probably a year in advance dealing with the field. And then, as I understand it, once that concert occurred, the concert just had a really, really bad effect on the field, and they could not recover. There just wasn't enough time between that concert and this game coming up Monday night to get the field in a position where you could even call it playable.
So you don't want to blame your local partners, but it is what it is. And guys ask us all the time, why do we do this? Remember, Rich, we were in Japan in 2005 with the yep. Falcons and the Colts. Is it all about the business model, just growing the brand? What is the end game?
Yeah, so it's interesting, Mike. I did a thing with all of our associates today. We did kind of a town hall where we kind of go through all the different businesses, all of Arthur's different businesses with, you know, 450 or so associates. And one of the things I told them is that when you look at the international business today, just the business model, revenue, expense, and the exposure, the business model is really good right now for the NFL. And that's not something that was true, you know, 10 years ago. We had an international business, but it was an expense. It wasn't a revenue item, and it was really to play, as we did, those preseason games in Tokyo or NFL Europe, which was, you know, not successful. But the regular season games have been incredibly successful. They've really moved the needle for us from a brand awareness standpoint and from a fan avidity standpoint of watching our games on Sky TV in the UK and Germany and in many other places in Europe. So they've been very successful. In Mexico City, well, first of all, Canada's been is a pretty successful place for us from the TV viewership standpoint. And then in Mexico City, this is something that has been talked about. I think the Mexico Tourism Bureau really wanted to house these games. And so it's growing the brand. It's growing awareness of football. It's staying in front of it. The NBA has done a really good job of this internationally. And it's a shame because I think that, you know, there was a lot of effort put in to get to this game to where it was. I think there was money put into the stadium to get the stadium ready. And then to not be able to play the game is disappointing.
It's Rich McKay, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We got the Cowboys coming up. We'll talk to Rich about that. I want to get to these flex games and, you know, the NFL's process of flexing these games. First of all, why didn't we think of this years ago? It seems like this has been around, but, man, this just makes total sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It all gets into the window of where you could flex, right? And really, I think the league is, you know, first they worked on it, Carl, and went, okay, we know we can flex from 1 to 4. That's pretty doable. Then all of a sudden we created this new package called Sunday Night Football, and we said, hey, you know what? We can flex all day long from Sunday at 1 to 8. And so, flexing really on the same day becomes pretty easy. As soon as you begin to talk about, which we've done this year even, hey, we're going to move a game to Saturday in December, and we're going to tell you 6 weeks before. That's a challenge now for the teams that you tell, because all of a sudden hotels become an issue, airline becomes an issue, your fans that are going to that game and bought tickets become an issue. So flexing to other days becomes very challenging. Flexing day of is absolutely in all of our best interests, so that late in the year you're going to see games but between teams that are still very competitive.
Rich McKay's with us, guys, president of the Falcons, as now we get ready for a big game with the Cowboys. Again, I know the team is, they've turned the page on whatever that was up in Cleveland, but now it's such a big, we call it a muddled mess, Rich, between the Rams and the Saints, and you get down to all these teams that compete. I mean, you think we got the juice to get it done? Because obviously it all starts Sunday against Dallas if we're going to make the playoffs.
Well, we do. We definitely have the juice, Mike. Now we've got to put it in order, right? So that starts with the Cowboy game. We got it going a little bit when we won our three in a row there. Even though the first two games were probably played in ways that were very close and right down to the last minute. I mean, you look at the Redskins game; that was a complete football game. Cleveland game was not what we wanted. It just wasn't what we wanted from a result standpoint and from a lot of different perspectives. You've got to quickly turn the page, though, because in our situation, in our setup, with where the NFC sits and the wild card positions still stand, there's plenty of football to be played. So I think it's nice to talk about the big picture and what we have to do and to get in, and do you have to get to 9 wins, do you have to get to 10 wins, what do you have to get to? I think what we have to get to is focus on Sunday. And Sunday will be an interesting, they're coming off a big win, similar records, and it'll be a loud and raucous atmosphere, which is cool. That's what we want.
Rich, a couple of weeks ago, Bill Belichick was asked the question about Khalil Mack, and I don't know if I've ever seen him do this, but it was like he was asked the question about, is Khalil Mack as good as Lawrence Taylor? And basically Belichick was like, listen, nobody is Lawrence Taylor. Who's the best player you ever seen with your eyes? You've been around football all your life. Your dad was a coach. With your own eyes, who's the best football player you've ever seen?
O.J. Simpson. Not really. I don't know who's close. Leroy Salmon was the most pleasurable player I ever got to watch, and I say it in that way because of the gentleman he was, of the incredible football player he was, of the teammate he was. Just a different level in all of those, in all those buckets, and a great, great football player. But O.J. Simpson was, as a kid, when you watched his talent versus everybody else, there's just no real comparison. I mean, it's just a different league. And so that to me was, football player-wise, that was the greatest football player I ever saw.
It is Rich McKay, guys. He is in the competition committee. He's a guy that's been around the game of football his whole life. Rich, I know we got a couple of years before we get to the next wrangling over the CBA. We were talking, I know you can't talk about specific personnel, but the Le'Veon Bell thing, it's hard to imagine owners being happy about him working the system the way he is and then potentially getting paid. Is this something they're going to address? I mean, changing the way the franchise tag and all these things work?
No, Mike, I don't think so. I think the franchise tag, has served players and has served the league pretty well. I mean, I think that it's a system that, everybody, can say they're uncomfortable with it at times based on individual situations. But in reality, the majority of players who have gone under the franchise tag have ended up getting multi-year deals. There have been players that have played on the franchise tag for 1 or 2 years and then got multi-year deals from other teams. I think the system, the way it's currently set up from a franchise tag standpoint, works fine. Listen, the player made a choice that he's entitled to under, the terms of the collective bargaining agreement. And it may feel unpopular. It may feel however people want to perceive it, but he made that choice. And I think all of us that are within the system, as long as we're operating within the rules, that seems to be a rule and seems to be a system, meaning the franchise tag, that it's actually served the league well.
It's interesting. This Le'Veon thing had a lot of people wondering, and I think still wondering, what owner may reward a behavior of a player who was offered a fair deal and then walks away from it, and then some other team, Rich, is going to offer him a lot more money. I mean, Mike and I have been kind of throwing that around. We'll see in the offseason. Hey, good luck Sunday. Cowboys coming in. It's always big, and we know, as always, your countdown to the Super Bowl, but we'll get past that after Thanksgiving. We'll talk more about the Super Bowl. Thanks again.
Ben, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you not talking too much about the Browns game because I'm on to the Cowboys.
There's nothing more to say, Rich.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Boss. That's the boss, El Presidente of your Atlanta Falcons, Rich McKay. And for younger listeners who don't know, his dad, legendary college and NFL coach at USC. The old days when they used to buy your Sports Illustrated subscriptions and get the great highlight reels and bloopers. His dad had the best sideline comments of all time in post-press conference. Coach, what about the execution of your offense? I'm all for it.
It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, guys, we've got the Falcon Report. Matt Ryan, what's he have to say about the upcoming matchup with the Cowboys? Find out next.